Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Time for the second half of Darren Donick and Chase here on 102.5 The Game, ESPN Radio Nashville. Well, in just a few days, the baseball players will be at their sites, and they will begin the spring training towards the beginning of the season, which is we've all been anxiously awaiting to get some more action on the field. We had, by the way, we're soaking up all of the competitive action that we can find. Chase, I know, was watching at Pocono yesterday. He wasn't in Pocono, but he was watching the races, the triple header that they had. You had the PGA Tour up in Connecticut, and there was a great local story with a Vanderbilt golfer named Will Gordon, who finished tied for third. Had an outstanding tournament. Shot a 64 yesterday. He's going to join us at 1:30, and so we're excited about that. But in the meantime, a guy that's getting ready for his season, Kurt Casale, a former Commodore, and knows a little something about the Vanderbilt golf program, I would say. He joins us here as he gets set to head for spring training. Woo-hoo! Part two. Kurt, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having us on again. I appreciate it.
So, Kurt, before we get into the baseball, do you know much about Will Gordon? I don't know how much you follow it. I know you are married to an outstanding golfer who has gone through that program. So I know you're paying attention to that.
I watched it a little bit yesterday. I was actually out on the golf course with Renee yesterday, so I didn't get to see a whole lot of it. But she knew Will a little bit. I think Will was a little bit after her time, but they're still pretty tight-knit within that Vanderbilt golf group. But it was really cool, and the fact that he was able to hold on to that tie for third to I think what he got his card for the rest of the season, right? Unlimited status.
Yes, and so he's right back this week again.
So that's incredible. I'm happy for him. It's really, really cool. And side note, I lost to Renee yesterday. So.
Can you hang? What's the matchup like? I mean, does she just take you to the woodshed every time, or can you compete?
Not every time. Just with the fact that we haven't really been able to do, obviously baseball, it's been limited. I've been playing quite a bit of golf just to stay competitive. And, I beat her a few times, during quarantine, but, she still has a heavy, heavy lead on our lifetime matches.
Stands to reason. So, Kurt, tell us the schedule you've got this week. Where are you headed? Because you got to be excited to hit the restart button here.
Yeah, for sure. Me and Sonny Gray just did one of our last tune-up bullpens yesterday. We did it at Rose Park, and I'm actually, as soon as I get off the phone with you guys, I'm driving up to Cincinnati right now, and then I'm gonna bunk up with Sonny. He's got a house up there, so I'm just gonna stay as opposed to just signing another lease and adding more chaos to my life. But I think once we get up there, we have either tomorrow or the next day, we have some intake testing, which I don't even know how that's going to go. I'm sure I'm going to have to get something stuck up my nose, but for the good of everyone. And then I think maybe a day or two after that is when we're going to start workouts. I think we've got everybody who's going to go with Great American Park. Then we have another location up in Cincinnati that I think 25 other people are going to be practicing at, so we don't have too many people in the same spot. But my God, Willie, it looks like we're going to do it. And it's been so long. It was such a interesting and brutal process, and I'm sure a lot of fans are just so frustrated. But we're close. We're close to getting it, and it seems like we're going to start pretty soon here and give everybody some baseball.
So as you go through it, and I guess from my end, I've been watching my son play now for a few weeks. I know there's been a lot of youth baseball being played around, so it's not like, you know, there hasn't been any baseball at all. But as you prepare for this, yeah, and you envision getting on the field with some of these protocols, I know the book is, I guess, pretty thick with all the stuff that they've been throwing out there. What do you envision on being able to just function the way you normally do out there and being able to mentally put it aside so you can do your job?
I mean, mentally, I think I'll be able to be fine. You know, the fact that no fans will be there will really stink. That's probably one of the best parts about the game is just interacting with the fans and feeding off of their energy. So that's going to take even more team unity from our perspective. Like, we're going to have to, you know, do it ourselves and create energy on the fly, which will be a challenge, but I think we can do it. The other protocols, I think it's every other day testing, it's masks inside, it's limited resources. And so I mean, it might take a week or so to get used to it, but, you know, well, whatever we have to do to keep everybody safe and keep the product on the field is most important. The thing that I'm worried and nervous about is the no spitting.
I don't see how that's going to work.
My routine when I'm catching is after I catch the ball, I throw it back. I take my mask off, like half off, and I just spit. I don't even know. Like, I spit in my glove. Sometimes it gets too dry, and it's like I don't know. I don't know if we're gonna get fined. I don't know if I'm gonna get like slapped or, you know, taken off the field. I mean, I hope not, but that'll be a personal challenge for me. So if you guys are interested, just watch out for that one.
I'm sure you will not be alone in this club of people who are going to have to retrain themselves in some form or fashion. I mean, we can all, you know, go back to the old school. I'm sure that goes with the staff too, the coaches, with all of that. So have you read the manual? People have kind of made jokes about how detailed it is.
It is detailed, but, you know, a lot of it is, you know, subject to interpretation. You know, it's a lot of, you know, use your best judgments and things like that, which I think is appropriate, because sometimes you can't control everything, and, you know, you don't mean to do it, but I think it's just use your best judgment. I think, you know, we gotta really be careful when we're on the road. I think we really need to stay headstrong and diligent about not interacting with too many people, staying within our, you know, proverbial bubble, you know, they have, there's no traveling, use of public transportation to a game, which is something that I would do frequently, because the bus times were usually just a little bit too late for me. So I would grab a cab or an Uber, or, you know, if we're in San Francisco or Oakland, I grab the BART out there. So I'm not going to be able to do that. And, you know, it's just going to take a lot of hard work. And, like I said, a lot of diligence by everybody in our team to make sure that once we start this thing, that we're able to finish it and finish it as a group and a healthy group. That's the most important.
Yeah. We have all got our fingers crossed, really, in all sports, that this can be executed, because we want so badly to be able to watch it and see the competition like we're accustomed to. So, Kurt, how did you try to stay sharp? How did you be able to ramp back up to be ready? You still got some time before you actually start playing games, but it'll be on you pretty quick here. I'm sure, you know, it's not like you've been sitting around doing nothing, I'm sure.
No, I certainly haven't been, and the people that I've been playing with and working out with have been very impressive about how they're going about their work. I mean, fortunately, Nashville is a great place for a bunch of professional baseball players. Sonny Gray, who I've mentioned, Mike Yastrzemski with the Giants, Tony Kemp, Even another one of my teammates, Phil Irvin, has been around. So we've been kind of doing sandlot style live BPs, batting practice, ground balls at Hillwood High School, and it's been fun. You know, the head coach Kobe has been unbelievable to us. We really owe him a great deal of thanks and gratitude, because without him, we wouldn't have been able to stay as sharp as we could, because Vanderbilt's closed. We can't get in there. So that was really fun, actually. It kind of brought us back to our kind of, you know, travel ball high school roots, and I think it just kind of made us appreciative of everything that we do have in the major league. Just something as simple as carrying our own baseballs and picking them up and not having brand new baseballs every single time we've hit, or raking the field afterwards. And it's kind of been a unique perspective and a humbling one, which has been fun. But outside of that, you know, the batting practice has been great. We've been able to lift a little bit of weights here and there. I bought a Peloton. It's the single best investment I've ever made in my entire life. I love that thing. And, you know, you just do what you can. And, you know, fortunately, as time has gone on, the rules have been laxed a little bit, and, you know, you get to do a little bit more things. But I think I've caught Sonny probably upwards of 15 times this entire period. And I can tell you firsthand, he's ready. He's ready to go. And I feel like I'm ready to go from behind the plate. And hopefully with a couple weeks of scrimmaging against each other, we can, you know, put a good product on the field and start the sprint hot and bring a trophy back to Cincinnati. That'd be pretty cool.
Kurt Casale is with us, catcher for the Cincinnati Reds. And you mentioned working with Sonny. How does he feel about not being able to hit as a National League pitcher? The DH is going to be universal. And as somebody that grew up on National League baseball, it's going to be weird to watch for me. You've played in both leagues, but what do you and Sonny think about the DH?
I think the DH makes it a much more challenging thing to pitch against and call a game against. I don't want to speak for Sonny. If I were Sonny, I would be thrilled because hitting is very, very hard. And when you put as much time in your craft as pitchers do in the big leagues, you don't get to practice hitting as much. And I think that they can, you know, take a full break once they're done pitching in the dugout and not have to worry about hitting. So that'll be something to look for. I think that it helps our team greatly because we have a lot of great hitters on our team. But as somebody who's played in the American League and the National League, I like the National League better just because I think it adds more strategy. I think it's, a more pure game, if you will. I'm sure it'll come back next year. But for the time being, I think it adds, you know, an element of interest and just different variety that the fans have probably been wanting or not wanting. So it'll add a nice topic for debate. That's for sure. I can't wait to see the people on Twitter, troll this one. And, but I think it bodes our team well, but like I said, if our pitchers had to hit anyways, then that'd be fun as well too, because I think Sonny turned a corner and figured out that, you know, it's not easy being a National League pitcher, and he didn't love it at first because he's like, oh, I'm so tired, I have to hit. And now he figured it out eventually, but they'll be fine. They'll be fine. I think it'll be interesting to watch.
Well, and you mentioned, I thought it was interesting that you brought up that you think it'll come back. And as you look at this season, we all know that this season's going to be unique. It's going to be one that we talk about for a long time, with 60 games and a DH and a runner on second and extra innings, which I hate that rule. I'm just going to be full disclosure. Yeah. I don't like that rule.
Yep.
But okay. some things that might actually stick around because of this, because you're able to experiment. Have you thought about that? That some of these rules that are in place that the owners and the players could get together on and potentially agree that they actually stay permanent?
The runner on second base, I can't imagine would ever stay permanent. It just doesn't make any sense to me. I've done it, you know, I've done it in travel ball, and it's called like the California rule or something like that, right? So it's interesting. It'll shorten games, which I think was the idea behind it. So I believe that they'll accomplish that. The DH thing, I'm still hung up on. I like both ways. I think it's interesting. I think it's somewhat an equalizer when both teams have to do it in the World Series. But the other rules, you know, the three batter minimum, I'm the jury's still out on that one. I'm not really sure. Just because we haven't done it. I like the fact that pitchers have to throw to more than one batter, but you know, it might eliminate somebody's position or role on a team that has been, you know, working on that and perfecting that role, and they need to figure something else out. But, you know, I think the game is evolving in a decent direction. I think that the bread and butter of the game has remained intact, and that's the most important thing. And if Major League Baseball has ideas about how they want to improve, whether it's, you know, pace of play or excitement in the game, then, you know, obviously as players we will listen, and if a good idea comes up, then we'll definitely let it fly. But like I said, like the extra inning rule, that'll be interesting this year, and the DH, those will be it'll be fun. It'll be a nice change of pace. This year is completely different anyways, and everybody's got to play by these rules. It's not subject to one league, so we all got to deal with it and see who can adapt to it fastest.
So how do you think the strategy changes with 60 games? And it's a compacted schedule. I mean, you guys are trying to get it in, trying to knock it out. You mentioned the health and safety concerns earlier in trying to get a season done. So how does it change, and how do you feel like the Reds are built for a 60 game run?
I think it's funny. So it's 60 games, so it's, you know, basically a third of the amount of games normally, but I think it'll add length to each game. I think you'll see the average time of play go up, because every decision that's made is magnified. It's just, you know, this pitching, this matchup is going to be, you know, incrementally important, because we don't have 100 more games to make up for it. So I think, you know, being able to close out ball games and not lose those one run games that you can make up later in the season is going to be so huge. But yeah, I mean, honestly, I think we as a team are in great shape. I think we have arguably a top five rotation, if not higher, in all of baseball. I think our lineup is a top five lineup in all of baseball. And we got an awesome bullpen, you know, with Iglesias, Lorenz, and Garrett. Watch out for a guy named Cody Reed this year. I think he's going to be big. Mm. We got the players to do it. We signed Mike Moustakas, Nick Castellano, Shogo Akiyama. These guys are legit ball players, and they're proven. They're proven winners. And when you add that type of depth to a team that, you know, let's be honest, it hasn't won much lately, and doesn't really know how to go about, managing the playoffs. Those guys are going to be huge for us. Mike Moustakas has already been huge in spring training, just about having the mindset of winning, just believing you can do it. Nick Castellanos' work ethic is something that, you know, is unbelievable. The guy is just nails. He's rock solid. He works his butt off. And Shogo can add a different element too. You know, he's a proven leadoff hitter. He's a stable force in the top of our lineup. He's an unbelievable defender out in center field, and he can teach us things that the Japanese do that maybe we don't do. So we have a whole bunch of new toys that we can't wait to work with. We just have been waiting and waiting and waiting to be able to bust them out. And I think people are in for a real treat when they tune in to see us play this year.
Everybody's tied for first on July 23rd. That's exciting way to think about things. I mean, it's going to be so much fun to watch once we get going. One more as we let you go, Kurt, and I know you got to get on the road. Thanks a lot for spending a little time with us. One of the more unique characters in the game is Trevor Bauer. He got traded to you guys towards the end of the season last year, so I'm sure you're still getting to know him some. But what is he like? What He's a guy that certainly beats to his own drum.
Yeah, for sure. He super smart guy, super smart, and he's super talented. The guy is constantly looking to rewrite the rule book and do things his own way. And I'm totally with him. I'm totally with him. If he wants to, you know, try to push the boundaries of something, then honestly, I think he'll figure out a way to do it. I think he and Kyle Bodie and the guys at Driveline up in Seattle have completely changed and improved the landscape of pitching in baseball forever. I mean, wouldn't you agree? People who are throwing harder. They're staying healthier longer. They're able to go longer in games because their arms are in better shape, and they're being more efficient with their body mechanics. And Trevor was at the forefront of that. And I mean, if not for anything else, if he never pitched another big league game in his life, his impact on baseball will live on for years and years. So I think that's impressive to point out as well. And he lives his life by it. He travels with different mechanisms to make sure that his body is at peak performance at all times. When it's his day to start, he's gonna go out there and give you a real, real shot to win. He's a bona fide ace. Now he's healthy. His arm is even stronger than it was last year. He had some ankle problems last year that nobody really knew about. And, I think he had 3 to 4 outings in spring training. I don't even think anybody got a hit off of him. And so, I mean, I expect him to come in and really, lead the charge with our pitching staff. But I've enjoyed getting to know him. He's, if we're comparing him to others, yeah, he's a little different, but, I think different is cool. And, he's definitely made different cool. And, he's not shy about sharing his opinions either,
that's for sure.
I enjoy as well. He'll go after the commissioner when nobody else will, but he's got the stuff to back it up too. So you got to give him that.
Well, Kurt, have a safe trip up to Cincinnati. We'll be watching. We've got our fingers crossed that everything works out with safety and everything like that. And we see you guys on the field playing ball here in a couple of weeks.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Kurt.
All right. That is Cincinnati Reds catcher Kurt Casale, Nashvillian, former Vanderbilt catcher, first team to ever make the College World Series under Tim Corbin back in 2011, and has had a fine career with the Reds. Pretty intriguing. If you're a Reds fan, you had to be pretty excited about what he had to say about their talent. They're kind of a sleeper team. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more. In fact, Chase, will break out the list. They've got these 60-man rosters that they're bringing to camp, and they'll end up keeping 30. Remember, there are no minor leagues playing right now, which is why it's intriguing what the Sounds are trying to do with the unsigned players. But there's a fun list of teams. What do you call the other 30 that are going to practice at the other field? There's some comical stuff that The Athletic has put together we're going to tell you about when we come back. Stay tuned. This is Darren Donick and Chase here on 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.